Good morning again. How many of you realize just how much your father loves you? Now I'm talking about Clay. Let me ask Clay. Clay, do you realize how much I love you? Where is he at? He's in the bathroom? No. I don't know how long he'll be there, so let's let him know. Or how many of you realize how much your father did love you if your father's passed away? My father's passed away. He died in June of 93. It's been a long time. But I can still remember how much my father loved me. I remember how much he was willing to go through for me. How he worked to no end. How he sacrificed. And how he guided me. How he was the father that anyone would hope for. I know what he taught me and I know what he left in me. To love and to give and to serve and to lead. That was my father. A good man. A godly man. A man that didn't say a lot. But when he spoke, you knew what he had to say. And you trusted in what he had to say. Now, he also had the look, so he didn't have to say a whole lot. Remember the look, Lynette? He could give you that look, and you knew right then, you better pay attention. You better change your ways. I was thinking about Daddy over these last several days. And began to think about our God in heaven. Very similar. My father reminds me of our great God in heaven. And I want us to spend a few minutes talking about this great God and how he shows us every day how much he loves us. I want us to look in Romans chapter 8, the first 11 verses. I'm going to read this passage of Scripture, and we're going to talk a little bit about this great triune God of ours. Romans chapter 8, if you have your Bible, let me encourage you to open it and use it. We put it up, the words up here on these screens. That's good, but continue to use your Bible. Find it if you don't know where Romans is. Open it. Study it. Use this Bible at home. Don't just tote it around. Don't let it gather dust. Read it. Devour it. And see what it is that God has to say to you. Romans chapter 8, 1 through 11. Hear God's words this morning. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Jesus Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. God reveals himself to us in such a manner that we call this triune God. He loves us like a father. He sacrifices for us as the Savior. And he teaches us as his Holy Spirit. Now, I go back to my father again. I remember and realize how much he loved me without reservation. He did everything he could to show me how much he loved me. He worked long hours. He left early in the morning. He got home late at night. He'd work 70 plus hours a week. He was that hard of a worker. But it didn't matter how busy he was in trying to make a living for us, to provide for my mother and me and my two brothers. He did everything he could, but he never allowed just work to show his love for me. In high school, I played baseball, and it didn't matter what day of the week it was. It didn't matter where the ball game was. It didn't matter what time the ball game started. I could go out there, and I played in the outfield, and I pitched. And we'd get warmed up, get ready for the game. Most of the time, the game started at 4:30, it seems like. I could look up when the game began, and on the fence just outside our dugout, my father was always leaning on that fence. I don't think he ever missed a ball game. He would be there for that game because he loved me. He wanted to support me and prove to me how much he loved me. Now, he would stand right there and lean on that fence and watch the game. And I knew without a shadow of a doubt, whether it was a home game or a away game, I could look up outside of our dugout and my father would be standing there. It was going to happen. But you know what happened? As soon as that last out of the game happened, you know what he did? He went right back to work. He had to work, but he wanted me to know how much he loved me. So he was there. So he did everything he could to show me he loved me. He sacrificed for us and for me so that I would have what I needed and sometimes what I wanted. Like I said, he worked long hours. He got up early to make sure the lights were kept on. And he came in late to make sure we had food on the table. He was always, it was about us. It was a sacrifice that he was willing to make because of his love for us. Many days, it was after dark. I used to call it dark 30 before Daddy would get home. And I might have shared this before, but me and my two brothers, we could hear him when he'd get home. And we'd be hiding as children. We'd be hiding behind the door. One of us would usually stand on a chair. And when he came through the door, we attacked him. We just, all three of us, just pounced on him. We were glad that my father was home. But it was long days that he sacrificed so that we would have what we needed. And he was not in too much of a hurry that when we pounced on him and tried to beat him up, wrestling down to the ground, he was very ticklish. And one of us would usually grab both his feet. I'm sure he would let us. Hold him tight while one of us started tickling him. We'd pull his shoes and socks off and start tickling. He was so ticklish, and before you knew it, one of us would be flying across the room. I mean, he'd throw us away. Now that was when I was this big. I didn't do that as a high schooler, okay? That didn't happen in high school. That was a child's age. But he sacrificed for us because he loved us. And he guided us. He taught us. Sometimes in ways that I didn't like. I got a lot of whoopings when I was growing up. Lots of whoopings. Okay? many whoopings. One night, I was in the sixth grade. We lived in the city for 1 year or maybe a half a year or so while we were building the farmhouse. And two blocks behind where we were living was the softball fields. And we were supposed to be home before it got dark. Well, I forgot about that for some reason. And it was late when Daddy found me. And it was even later by the time he got through wearing my rear end out. He taught me to be on time. Albeit it took a few of those whoopings to do that. I didn't mind the whoopings. Well, yes, I did. I didn't like them. I learned from them. He taught me things. He guided me in a direction. He taught us to work on the farm. My friends in Baxley, I don't know how it was here in Gray, but in Baxley, Main Street runs north and south, U.S. Highway 1. The north end of town was Dairy Queen. The south end of town was the Tasty Freeze. Somewhere in the middle was the Hardee's. And you know what you did on Saturday? You rode the loop. That's all you did. You just rode the loop. All of my friends on Saturday at lunch were already in town, hanging out at one of those three areas or driving all around that loop. But not me and my two brothers. We had to work till about 6 o'clock every Saturday. We had a tire business and then a cattle farm. We cut hay and raised cows. And so at 12 o'clock noon on Saturdays, I never learned. I always wanted to go to town and hang out with everybody else. No way. Son, don't you know we got work to do around here? I understood that, but I didn't want to do it. But he made us stay. He told us to work. He taught us to be responsible. He taught us to be prudent in our decisions. Now, it took me several years for that to kind of sink in. But he taught us, and he guided us. I needed guidance. Why did I tell you all of this? What's all this mean? This God that created us. My father learned from him. My father learned what love is. He learned what sacrifice was. He learned what guidance was from our God that created everything. Because this great God of ours, he reveals himself to us in a very unique way. A way that some people can't seem to understand, and we'll try to just discuss it just a little bit. We call it the Trinity. I do my best to explain it. You do your best to explain it and understand it. It doesn't seem that hard, but for many folks it is. How one God can be three. How this great God of ours can reveal himself in a variety of ways that shows just who he is. As the Father, as the Son, and as the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Some find it confusing. It shouldn't be, because God isn't vague and he isn't confused. Nor is he confusing. He is purposeful. He's accurate. He's spot on with the way he tells us and reveals himself to us. God says, I want you to know me, and I reveal myself to you in such a way that you can understand me. So I love you like a father. I do and give you what you need. Sometimes I give you what you want. I sacrifice for you. I teach you. God loves us and he gives us everything that we need. That job interview that you go for, if God wants you to have it, you'll have it. That relationship needs restoration. He'll love you and show you how to love. That most difficult time in your life, whether it's a loss of someone you love, whether it's difficult times in life that happen around you, these circumstances that make no sense, your God loves you through that. He reveals Himself to you in such a way that you experience love and a peace that passes all understanding. This great God loves you, and He reveals Himself as a Father to you and I. He reveals Himself as the Son, Christ Jesus, who sacrificed Himself. Now, how can God be a Father, and how can He be the Son, and how can He be the Holy Spirit? He just is, because He said so. So He reveals Himself as this great sacrifice, proving His love. He said, I'll do whatever I have to prove to you how much I love you. I will give you everything you need. I will be your Father. But I also sacrifice my life for you as Christ Jesus, the Son, your Savior and mine. And so He went through this brutal death on a cross. We talk about it. Lynette jokingly says to me, what are you going to preach about today? And Jesus or God? Yes. That's what we need to hear. The story of Jesus. She says, there's other people in the Bible. I said, it all leads back to Jesus. It all leads back to this Father. This great God who loves us as a Father, and He sacrificed Himself on a cross. I don't know if the cross looked like that. It might have been a T, they say. You know, it don't matter. He was nailed on a cross as a sacrificial lamb for you and I. He says, I want you to know how much I love you. I who created you will sacrifice myself, my Son, for you. And He did so because He loved you. Remember that sin you committed yesterday? He died for that sin. You know that sin you'll commit today? He died for that sin. And He says, it's no more. You've been washed clean because I love you so much that I'll sacrifice myself to you. I'll do whatever it takes to prove to you I love you. Then He teaches us. He teaches us how to go about living in this world as children of this great God, saved by grace. He guides us in the decisions of life we have to make. How you're going to act to that person who's mean to you. Anybody have coworkers that's difficult to get along with? Anybody got a spouse that's difficult to get along with? Yep, I see some of you. Jesus, God, the Father, the Spirit indwells us when we accept that grace, when we choose Jesus Christ, His Spirit now. Now is this third way of revealing Himself. It indwells within us. It comes and lives with us. Jesus says, I'm going to send you a helper to abide in you, to guide you, to help you, to instruct you. And when that Holy Spirit lives inside of us, takes residence in our heart, all of a sudden, that spouse that's difficult to live with, and maybe that's you, right? Maybe it's me. Yes. It says, yes, it's me. We begin looking at life differently because God's Spirit, as it encompassed our entire being, says, you don't look at life the same anymore. You let me show you how to look at life. Joe, it's not Lynette, it's you. Change. forever. Snuggle up next to her. But God, it's hot. She's hot. I don't care. Snuggle up next to her. Let her know you love her. Okay, God. So we snuggle. I'm going too far? Am I going too far? I don't know. All I know is this. This great God now is abiding within me. And you, and your decisions are not yours anymore. They're not earthly anymore. They're not the world's decisions anymore. They're not your decisions anymore. There's God's decisions as he imparts his guidance, his teaching in your life. So that when people, and I use people because that's who we struggle with, each other. We wrestle with God and we wrestle with this world. We don't have to make the decisions anymore. God makes them for us in his spirit as it speaks to us. This triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit says, I love you. I'm giving you everything that you need. I'm sacrificing myself for you and I'm guiding you. What more do you want? And then we respond. Do we trust in that? Do we believe in this? You're here for a couple of reasons. One, you believe this. So you come here to worship this great God, this creator of all things, who loves you and sacrifices and guides us in three very distinct ways, but all intertwined together, can't be separated. No, there's one God and only one God. Amen. But he reveals himself to us in a lot of ways. God's word is not complex. It doesn't confuse. It teaches the truth. God is truth. I talked to my mom this week. Her birthday was Thanksgiving. She turned 70. So we were in the mountains and we didn't have any service. We had to drive down out of the mountains to use our phone. And I left a message with her on the 21st on Wednesday because we were going to stay up in the cabin the whole time on Thursday, which we did. So we came down and I called her and left her a message to tell her how much I loved her. Mother and Mr. Murray, he's my second father. No, he's my third father. I got a father in heaven. My father is deceased. But Mr. Murray married Mother about 12 years ago. Loved this man. Matter of fact, I hooked him up. Mr. Murray thanks me every now and then. Thank you for talking me into asking your mom out. I love his. Matter of fact, me and his son lived in college together. We roomed together for a year. And now we're stepbrothers. But anyway, they went down to Key West for her 70th birthday. Mr. Murray and them left on Monday morning, I believe. Drove down, or over the weekend or something, last weekend. Drove down to Key West. Drove all the way there. Stopped all along the way doing things. Well, I talked to Mother on Friday. And Mr. Murray, he's 66 or 7. Mother turned 70. I think she's 2 or 3 years older than he is. He went skydiving. Now, I didn't know it till after the fact, but Dale had called Mother and she says, JW's going skydiving. And Dale said, you can't do that. Do not let him go skydiving. But it was his own decision. And he did. Now, I'm not sure what God was telling him then, because I don't think he was listening. Because that's too dangerous. I promise you, they'll have to shove me out of an airplane. That will not happen to me. I promise you. I say that about Mr. Murray. That, what kind of impact do you think that has? Was that all about God's Spirit? You know, we still make our decisions. A little crazy decision he made. I don't think God told him to do it, but he did it. But let me tell you what God did do for him, for Mr. Murray. About 6 years ago, we went down to Baxley to Lake Mayers which is the county lake that people go skiing and swimming in, big lake. And we watched Mr. Murray get baptized. Now that's God. That was, Mr. Murray can do all kind of things. He can skydive if he wants to. He can snorkel to 3,000 feet deep if he tries. I think he'll make it, but those things are they don't matter. What does matter with Mr. Murray was this great God that loved him revealed himself to Mr. Murray. And he loved Mr. Murray. And he sacrificed for Mr. Murray. And he guided Mr. Murray to salvation. And it was a great day when we watched he, with Pastor Meadows, go down into the water at Lake Mayers, and we videotaped him being baptized. That's what matters. He finally understood who this great God was. He was raised in church and kind of ran from God and probably knew something of faith. Might have even been a Christian, but had never been baptized. But he made that profession real when he realized that this Father, this Son, and this Holy Spirit, this God, the Creator, loved him. That's what mattered. The Father was speaking to him. The Son was sacrificing for him. And now the Spirit convicts him and guides him. The Trinity that we speak about is not that hard to understand. You must believe in this great God and how he reveals himself to you and to me. Now, what do you do with all this? We begin the Advent season next Sunday. The coming of a Savior. And I encourage you for these next several weeks that you think about what God has done for you, how much he loves you, how much he was willing to sacrifice that begins with the birth of Jesus. This immaculate conception, this immaculate birth. What will you take from this? Will you trust in this God? Will you believe this story that we must talk about every week? Salvation, grace, love, guidance that comes from a God who loves you. Believe it. Live it. Trust it. Share it. Share it with the world. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Jesus Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Pray with me, please. Our God in heaven, we do love you. We thank you that you love us. That you went to the extreme to prove to us how much you really do love us. God in heaven, as we ponder in our hearts who you are and how in such a unique way you revealed yourself to us, may we have some understanding of what it means to each of us personally. What your love and sacrifice and guidance means to us day in and day out at this very moment. Thank you for loving us and becoming as a father to us. Thank you for sacrificing yourself for us to go on a cross so that our sins would be washed away and a relationship with the Creator can be made possible. Thank you for abiding in us so that decisions we don't have to make that you make for us. May we choose you today as our triune God, our one true God, our holy God. Father, we love you. Savior, we sacrifice with you. Spirit, we listen to you. In Jesus' name.